Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Welcome back to the Big Brother Specialists. We are here and ready to recap Sweet Kenny K leaving the house.
Bro, what an explosive week to get Kenny out, just like we all drew it up. I think there's just so much stuff that I think we should do some positives first. There's no real negatives this week. I feel like it's going to be like, not that we're going to be like, remember that explosive week three? Like, obviously that Dr. Pepper, I love that stuff. Oh my gosh.
So good.
At 9 o'clock at night, you're going to go to sleep on Friday or something at that point. What's truly happened? No free ads. Sorry, Dr. Pepper.
Sponsor us though.
What's truly happening is, it feels like the HOH we just had was actually Tucker. And everyone promised Tucker that they would go with his plan and help him out. And like, what a great plan. And then Tucker, the HOH, falls on his face because he's the only person who actually wanted Quinn out. But like, I think it's equal parts. Like, this is a good twist because like, we have no idea what's going to happen on Thursday. But boy, if I get out of that house and I'm Quinn, I'm going to be like, let me check my freaking paperwork of what I signed when I went in the house. Cause they go like literally every time they're like, who are you going to vote for America's nominee? As the announcer is saying that, or someone is saying that, it goes to Quinn every time. And you're just like, bro, was this a fan vote or is this a, did 5 million production members do this? Like, also, is Quinn truly that evil? Blah, blah, blah.
The Wednesday episode was basically throwing Quinn under the bus, or as under the bus as possible. Like, hey, vote Quinn. So, like, while you're watching it, like, he's the only thing that's able to vote for that's like in your mind, because like, Cam was in.
There wasn't a reason for Cam
like,
to go.
Rabina,
there wasn't a
plan
for was Joseph.
There T-Core, Joseph, yeah. Chemo. Like, there's no reason to go for anybody else, for just the viewers watching at home.
This is a rough two episodes for, I think, half the cast, too, because you do kind of like, when you're sitting at your house in northern New York, let me dox you real quick. Like, it's just something where you're like, do I want to be rooting for someone who says, can you guys stop fighting? I'm trying to go to sleep. And you're like, T-Core, there's no sleeping in the Big Brother house. Like, what are you talking about? You want these people to be fighting. You can sleep in November after you have $750,000. And so there was a couple people that were kind of like, hey, man, let's not do that. And you just want to be like, get out of the way. Let these people fight. I think it was a great couple episodes for Tucker. Tucker has gotten an all-star spot and more with whatever his legacy is from here of like, just like Caitlin should have gotten a spot from Big Brother 20. Like the whole first month will be based about like, were you friends with Tucker? Did Tucker do this? Will Tucker win another AI? Will Tucker win another veto? I think it was great that Big Brother did the work for us and was like, this is only the sixth time a nominee has won a veto and played it on someone else or whatever the stat was. So that was nice to have or whatever. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Kenny goes home. So no explosions. But now, super important HOH competition, but ultimately not important HOH competition because Quinn is going to take over the power and the deepfake HOH will be used next week.
So he said, though, that he was never going to use it, but you think because it got blown up that now he's going to use it?
Like, do you believe that at all, McKenna? Like, please don't ever go on any of these Big Brother games when you get older, because
when there's you get older, there's people younger than me in the house.
There's no way that Quinn would go like, oh, I didn't win HOH next week. I'm just gonna like, I'm gonna respect the HOH. Like, that's such crock of shit. Of like, you want to keep your, just like in Survivor, you want to keep your idol until Final Five when it's pointless, and you want to do something big. Of like, look, everyone, I had this power for 4 weeks, and I it never got blown up, and I never had to use it. Look, what a great game I'm playing, and. Mm. I think this is where your opinion of Quinn is either going to go one way or the other. And for me, he's not my favorite type of his archetype. Absolutely ever not. Because he is like America, like, hello, America. Why did you do this scene? And the whole like America, the better half of the AmeriCorey duo. Like, are you playing in Big Brother 26 or are you a fan of Big Brother 25? Because I don't have times for fans of 25. And part of me is like, I know the alternative was Kenny going, or not the alternative. The alternative is Quinn goes and Kenny sticks around to make week four boring. And week four is going to be a lot more interesting. But I feel like it would have been really cool if they did take the chance of like, yeah, actually Quinn's gone. Like, what are we doing?
I really wish Quinn would have gone here. Not for the me still pushing that, you know, Sweet Kenny K should always be around here. Just
Sweet Kenny K will be like, on our podcast next week, probably, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but because like he is that gamer that if you let him go and he's gonna try and run away with it. He has so many comps to save him if he does like need it. So
yeah, hopefully they're all ball grabbing competitions because he was awful at that today. Like that was some embarrassing, like, have y'all guys never been in a money machine outside of a bank when you were 12 years old for the soccer stuff? Because I've been around that and it's like you catch them in your shirt or you like get in the corner and scoop them. Just as much as I'm saying like bad on T-Core for wanting to go to bed, I don't think you have to be a screamer or a fighter or an instigator to be an interesting character, because we do see Cedric have a very interesting couple of conversations where
Cedric is a mature and sound young man.
Great. Icon. And it was like Cedric saying, okay, that's fine. Like, I respect you not wanting to talk for the next week. Like, or I did tell you this. You think one way, I think the other. I think that's an interesting, like, instead of avoiding each other and not having a fight, like, we could at least have that. There doesn't always have to be a, like, shouting for an hour and a half. Like, it was a very much like, let's draw the line in the sand. I don't know who's all on your side right now. And I thought it was pretty interesting because if you are on Tucker's side, why aren't you trying to get Quinn out right now? And so the votes where it's like, Angela, do you know that like Tucker saved you? And like Mackenzie, like, shouldn't you go against what Cedric wants? Because you basically said, Cedric, I'm coming after you now. And like
which gives you Leah as well. And it's like, this could be a great
there's four
forming where it's right. You all are aligned, whether you realize it or not. You want these certain people out because they have more of the control over the house.
Right. And I do think it does suck because the Pentagon will have the third HOH in a row of this will be Quinn's one. No matter what happens, Tucker's going to be in danger. But if Tucker doesn't go, I truly think this will be a Mackenzie, Leah, Tucker, or Rubina like nominations, and all of these people are not in the whatchamacallit Pentagon, and it will be like, it feels like Tucker's on an island, but anytime they miss Tucker, they hit one of his numbers, and then it's just like, it's even harder for Tucker to turn it around, because there's an arena. We have three winners coming back on Tuesday to tell us like the second twist of the season. And I'm not looking forward to that unless it's literally like Tucker is HOH for the next month. And it'll be like, but he's immediately evicted or something. And I'll be like, this is the best twist ever. We do know there's no battle backs. So we're not having to see Kenny ever again. Overall, Kenny was a grade A flop for me on this season of like, I don't know why we're mentioning Boston Dad in the voting log. Like, I don't care about Boston and I don't care about Father. Like those are not defining characteristics for characters that I'm like, I hope that's in the season this year. There's a guy from Boston or there's a dad. Like,
Julie basically called it out in his final words of like, he basically contradicted everything that he said he was going to do in his like pregame interview and like outline and stuff like that, where he said he was going to hide his undercover cop. He was going to do this, that, and the other thing. He told people he was a cop. He was proud to be a cop. He said if he was 5 years young, came in 5 years younger, then he would have been able to play, but he really just, you know, missed his kids and missed his family. And it's like, did you actually want to play, or did your wife just shove you into this?
Yeah, like, why didn't we have his wife play? If his wife is a super fan, like, I can't imagine if she, like, now I'm talking shit about people that are on the show, so I probably shouldn't. But like, if she's more boring than Kenny, like, okay, like, that's pretty hard to be more boring than Kenny. Like, it could have been like, my husband, like, it's one of those things I always love to joke about on like the movie Armageddon. They teach drillers to be astronauts to take out the asteroid instead of teaching astronauts how to drill. And it's like, it's probably better to teach the Big Brother fan how to do the police investigation work instead of the police investigator how to do Big Brother.
So glad we lost a boring player in the most chaotic week. It made avoid a boring week when Kenny leaves. I think it also helped that we had that kind of montage sequence of Kenny wanting to stay and wanting to leave, wanting to stay, wanting to leave. This really like aided his departure of like, we knew from like live feeds and stuff like that, that Kenny was like really struggling to be in the house. But it was good to actually put that in the episode that he was like constantly flip-flopping and making it hard on the people still in the house.
And I think what's interesting, we have two people over 50. We have Angela, who is 50 days or 5 minutes or whatever. And then you have Kenny. And it's like one of them is going to be one of the two clear stars of the pre-jury. Sorry. And then the other one's the star is Tucker. And it's like, okay, you can't say don't cast people in their 50s. This is annoying because there's been some people over 50 that have been hilarious, like Rennie and Jerry that season or whatever.
Felicia, right?
Ceri's not 50. How dare you? But like, it is something where you're like, you can't do a whole thing. But you almost want to put like, take Kenny 2 weeks early. and put him in boot camp before mm-hmm. Big Brother. And then if he's like, I want to really talk to my family already, I'd be like, then you're not going in the house. Like, you're clearly not.
I mean, they were in quarantine for a certain amount of time, right? So, like...
Oh, I know all about that, yeah. But they get to talk to their family there. So, shut that door early. And if he's, like...
tweaking, then...
Kenny would quit boot camp. You're killing it, Brian. Nice. You should be specialist next week.
Wow.
The other thing that I'm like, what in the world? It was interesting seeing Brooklyn not show like weakness, but she was really worried that somehow America was going to get rid of her, because she's the only person who twice, and like she probably had the plan of, because it seemed like this is what was happening over feeds, was no matter who goes up in America, we're going to vote out either Kenny or Tucker over them. And it will come down. And then if it's Kenny versus Tucker, because the person who wins goes up, we'll get rid of Tucker. So mm-hmm. Tucker had two opportunities to go home. Kenny had one opportunity to go home. And the America replacement probably was safe all the time, which is like, mm-hmm. because the only one who could have maybe gone home would have been Quinn. Because like, it just would have been out of left field.
Quinn versus Tucker, it would have been Tucker going home tonight.
I'm 90% sure. Like, nobody took a shot at him here, and they would have like thank God Kenny didn't win. Could you imagine that permutation after what we just saw? But like, I do want to give some kudos to the producers of like, I went to go change my laundry from the washer to the dryer during the Tucker just won the AI comp, and I mm-hmm. was like, I have to rush back because I have to see the reaction to who wins or not. And that's the first time in like not years, probably at least a year and a half, where Big Brother was like, I have to rush back to see the thing. Like, they have trained me of like everyone cheering for Chemo, everyone cheering last week for Tucker, and now Tucker again. What do you think of Tucker's like get up? What is he doing with dressing up, wearing eyeliner, weird hair?
Like, everyone was like a little bit like rocker, like that. You had people in like neon spandex, '80s workout gear. I was like, did they agree as a house to like do something?
How do they have that in Leah's bag? Like, is this from a competition we didn't see?
Maybe, or... I don't know.
Because I know the veto this week was, Ainsley is stuck in an ancient jungle near a Mayan temple or something, and you're going to play a huge game of kind of operation. I don't know about you, but I was like, I'm kind of fast forwarding through the, like, it was like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I do like veto competitions where we're all playing at the same time mm-hmm. instead of one by one by one by one by one.
Yeah.
I guess we call that simultaneously, you know, instead of sequential. But it's something where watching six people, you can tell who's like has no shot of winning immediately. And like mm-hmm. the factor, it was like, you're gonna lose 5% of your battery. Like, you're just like, this is so convoluted. Like, what are we doing? can we have a strike system? Like the Ainsley stuff is just so like, why is this the theme? Because I have bitched about this before in like Big Brother 24. They were like, it's vacation in the Big Brother house. And then they split up into four kings, queens, jacks, and aces or something. And it was like, how is Vegas a vacation? Like, it's not Vegas vacation. And they kept calling them the aces and kings the whole time. And you're just like, mm-hmm. what? But now this is the time where they're like, yes, we're going to Ainsley really wants to know about data points today, okay? And there's some data that's clogging her, so grab the, it's just like, I'm almost also, like, please God, just say you need to get 10 red balls as quickly as possible, go. Please God, just start doing that.
Yeah, I mean, even still with the 10 red balls, it was like Ainsley still had something to do with it, where it's like, I need the 10 red, you know, data. And it's like, please.
Please. Please. Please. Okay, so let's see from your perspective, what happened for the Tucker and Cedric dispute How is this getting resolved? Who's in the right? Was there a plan? Let's hear it from you of, like, based on watching the show only, mm-hmm. what do you think happened?
Well, it seemed as if Tucker was like, here's the plan. And Cedric was like, got it. And then he was like, oh no, I don't like that. That's not great for my game. I'm just going to do this thing and nominate Mackenzie. And then he doesn't really have to name a replacement nominee because Mackenzie takes herself off and then America just throws someone up and he kind of can get Quinn nominated without nominating Quinn himself.
So here's the layers that I think we were told. And I don't know if I'm adding anything where it's like, Kenny realizes if I win veto and take off Angela, that'll make everyone mad. And instead of keeping Angela on the block, who I don't go home against, now I'm the leftover. And I think Tucker must have been in the same room as him and was like, wow, that's a phenomenal idea. Like, I may just do this. I think originally Mackenzie was, I can go up if Angela's there. That was the key point, because I won't go home against Angela. So whenever Tucker, because we even have Cedric in the veto cheering and hoping that Kenny doesn't win, because he says, I don't want Kenny to win. If he takes off Angela, I'm toast. And then, boom, Tucker does it anyway. And yeah. Tucker said to him, this is what I'm doing. We have to flush a power. We have to put up Quinn. And I think Cedric, at best, goes, that's a really good idea. Interesting. And I don't think if he was like, whatever. So far, it's not hubris. Like, Tucker said sure twice and has won it twice. Like, it's more just calling your shot and go. Like, hubris is you getting, like, I guess you don't ever want to be the one on the end of the 11-0, but, like, I guess he straight up has said to the next HOH, no matter what happens, I'm going to stay here to get rid of you. Let's go, America. Let's get rid of him. And then he's also gotten a fight with the outgoing HOH. But, like, honestly, I don't know if Cedric's going to get much flack for any of this, because none of it's really in his control. Everything got flipped around. It seemed like they wanted an answer from him on tonight's episode, and he kind of did pull a good move of, like, let me just get everyone in a room and have Tucker tell you, because, like, it may come out of my mouth, like, a little sheepish or a little bit shaky, but if you listen to Tucker talking cocky for a little bit, you may just be on my side just because you don't like Tucker right now.
So, I feel like I can deal with Tucker's, like, cocky bravado so much more than Quinn's. Like, Quinn's I would want out of the house immediately, but Tucker just feels a little bit more endearing, and I don't know.
What do you think that says about you?
I don't know.
Are you playing into traditional roles of hotness? Of Tucker is a hotter person? A more generally attractive person, so you're willing to look the other way?
I was higher on Quinn than you were on Tucker in the beginning. Like, I thought Tucker was going to flop. And I was like, all right, we can put him in, like, our top four or whatever. But so I think just Quinn. Also, I've expressed to you that I'm not the hotness on Tucker is just not there for me either.
It's there. It's there. I promise you.
I would
just listen to your community. Let me see what they say.
you gotta ask the lesbians what they think of Tucker.
Oh no, I meant like community as in specialists. Let's see what they have to say. Oh, someone just
strange.
Oh, that's an old photo of me. Oh my god, I just catfished myself. Oh my god, I'm working out to get back to there. I'm working out to get back to there. I promise.
I don't know.
I will never post it.
Has a better way of going about, like, being cocky than Quinn does. It just feels like sneaky and underhanded, where, like, Tucker feels just like he has just like a bravado about him.
Right, a bravado. Which one of these two people that we're talking about do you think started making out with somebody last night for the first time?
Tucker and Rubina.
Whoa! You're a huge Tucker fan.
No, I'm the Rubina stan here.
Oh my god.
Even though so, we don't know who the heck she is.
So Tubina fans rise up.
Is it really Tubina?
Is what you can search on, I think, X, or maybe they call it Twitter. I don't know. But
the screenshots that I saw of them were by the fish tank. So there's a throuple still. It's the fish tank. Rubina just joined in.
What if the fish goes belly up tomorrow and it's all because Tucker never gave them the time of day? Those poor fish. What else happened in yesterday's
Wednesday's?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff we talked about with live streams of like Kimo is in love with Tucker also, and that's why he tells Tucker about
Kimo Quinn is the weak link, allegedly. Yeah, and like they but lit them Angela up on the
also knows about Quinn's power, so that which Kimo doesn't know about. So like there are Kimo thinks it's gonna blow up on him that he told people about the power, but also Angela did too. So there's
they
that
just
dynamic.
All assumed it was Angela. So
Mackenzie and Leah were picked to play in the veto comp. Mackenzie was like, I really need to win this because I don't want to use my veto power just yet. I want to have like the actual golden power of veto.
Right.
And not need to use my power just yet.
So and what happened, Ainsley?
Oh,
I'm gonna say Amethyst or Ainsley.
No, Cam is sketch of Quinn because he didn't tell about the power, and Cam is in like 12 of his alliances.
Can we talk about Cam for about a minute and then get back to him in a month? Because like Cam, I don't think has any personality on the stuff at all. Where you're just like, wait, we don't know anything about him. He hasn't really taken charge at all. And I don't think he has the like there's at least four or five people like that. I really want to say like, I don't think it's usually not, I'm not saying it's bad. It just seems like we are focused on three or four characters over and over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then like there's five people that are just like, if they don't win an HOH or a veto or get nominated, like you may be learning about some of these people for the first time at the end of August, and that's like kind of terrifying. I feel like, of why am I supposed to cheer for Cam or Joseph or T-Core, or there's at least one other one. Like, I don't even remember all the girls right now because you're like, which one
Brooklyn,
am I forgetting?
T-Core,
oh, Rubina, Brooklyn, kind of. Is there
Angela.
A girls alliance too? And like, there's just some stuff where you're like, maybe instead of Ainsley, we have like somebody has to dress up as Ainsley every time. That would be fun. Of like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing this stuff.
It's just like, oh, that's what the unicard gonna be.
Yeah.
Is an Ainsley bodysuit.
Oh my god, you're so right. But yeah, it's something where like the Wednesday episode was pretty explosive, but it was like, it's just like two people. And you're like, there was so much on Wednesday's episode that it bled into the first part of this, but it's two people. And it's like, are you on Cedric's side or Tucker's side? And like, what's interesting is I think they are both right. So nobody that's cheering for either side is going to be left out at this at all. But like, if you're Quinn and you're doing the deep fake thing next week, who are the three nominees you put up to try and get Tucker out of the house?
I mean, I feel like you have to just nominate nobodies. You have to nominate with Tucker. You have to nominate like Rubina, Kimo. Like where it's like you don't know what they're doing, and then Tucker's out. But that's if he wins veto. Like he has the high probability of winning either veto or the AI arena. Like, you can't get Tucker out until AI Arena's gone.
Which is hilarious. Like, I think that's something where maybe some people would be like, production, come on. But I think that's Tucker realizing that and playing as balls to the wall as possible while the AI Arena is around is very interesting. because I do think this is like a brand new strategy that I have not seen from Big Brother, because like you can, it's like you're getting a battle back every week instead of like, if I ever screw up, hopefully there's a battle back, but then I'll be evicted and I'll be gone. And I know maybe there's some people that are like, well, this is basically what Jag did last year for part of this. And I'll go, well, I didn't watch the second half of that season, so you tell me. But like, it's also like, I don't see it the same of like, Tucker said, I truly do not care what happens. I'm going to do it anyway. It's going to be explosive. He is the other way
of fuck around and find out.
True. Wild card. And like, I think that's something where if somebody tells you they're a Tucker fan, I don't think you go like, oh, how could you cheer? Like, it's like, this is the most entertaining thing that has happened in recent memory. And it's something where I do want to see Tucker make more decisions. The worst thing that could happen is Tucker loses, and goes home unanimously next week. And Quinn laughs the whole way through and like reestablishes his game. Yeah, I don't think that'll happen either.
What were your thoughts on Cedric's test of Quinn? Because Cedric knew Quinn had the power and was just like, I'm giving you all the opportunities to tell me because we're in the Pentagon.
It's like it's two votes. I think I heard from somebody that like, but Lisa had it. And it's like, how is her two votes going to help her? It just doesn't make any sense. Do you know anything? Oh no, I just think it's two votes or whatever.
I don't know. I think Quinn might have told Cedric if Joseph wasn't there, maybe? But Joseph was just like lingering.
Joseph, let's say some Joseph stuff. He says Chin bot to her face. Has that happened before? That seems like weirdly antagonistic of like, Joseph, I don't know if you want to mess with Big Brother production, because if somebody says like, hey, I don't appreciate being called Chinbot, I don't write that in the people to listen to. But if Julie goes like, well, that was annoying, like, I don't want that to happen again, can someone talk to him? It's like, or like, let's just get him out of here. I'm not saying that production's the 17th house guest Ainsley, but
so
they are Ainsley.
What's your rating of Julie's outfit?
Very bad. It was
worse than the fringe.
I think I like dresses better than what she's been doing. She hasn't worn a dress yet, right? Or maybe
no, the first two nights, like the premiere, the double premiere, it was a dress.
Because the suit felt half couch, half fine china, and that was like china couch. Mm. And you're like, I don't know if I could say that, or like fine china couch is like what it almost would be in Wheel of Fortune before and after or whatever, but like. it was bad. It was a solid, like, for some reason, because we're doing this, I am like, ooh, what is she going to be wearing? And like, it's so far been immediately disappointing both times. It was like, where's my phone? I got a text about this, but what's weird too, I think I do have to say this shit. I'm weirded out of Big Brother is not religious. This is not on a religious network. This is not on a thing where you can be like, here's my personal preferences. Or yes, we have a social experiment, and maybe religion has been part of seasons in the past. Amber from season 7 is like, and Jamaica, God bless you, God, like all that stuff has been a thing on our show before. But like Brooklyn says to our friend Julie, God is good. And then Julie takes, it's not written on her teleprompter, it's not written on her card. She goes, God is good. All the time, God is good. We have business to take care of. Who do you want to evict? Like, that has to be the first time that sentence has ever said back to back like that ever before. And I don't know how you feel about it, but it just is like, this is a weird tangent. Could you imagine like Jeff Probst? And now that you've earned the merge, let's all say one Hail Mary together. And you're just like,
what? It does feel weird that I guess the host was like sort of intervening a little bit in the it was in a private like confessional kind of area, right? Not like right out in the open. So like, right, it was like,
I know we have some religious people, season.
So like that's like more okay than it's like, oh, Julie's definitely endorsing Brooklyn from like as a castaway, as a house guest. So like
house guestaway, yes.
Yeah. So it feels a little bit better that way, but the host should always be as impartial as possible. Yes, I get that there are slip-ups, but something like that should definitely be like taken like just a step back.
Right.
It feels like too close to home with something.
I don't feel like we'll dwell on that every time, but I think I was very jarring this time. Also the jarring from like Cedric interrupts her and like, Julie, you look beautiful. And she's like, what's that?
Yeah. Goes, oh, all right. Goes, enough oh, of never, me fishing for comments.
Oh, never mind. And she's like, no, you can finish your sentence. Finish that sentence. I'm fishing for comments. And you're like, I think sometimes I complain on both sides of, I wish Julie would be a little bit more off the cuff and we get to see her real personality. And then it's like, oh, is this her
real
personality? But then
this is what it is.
Maybe. And like, I do think when people show you, like, I'm Julie Chen Moonves, and she was Julie Chen before her husband did whatever and got caught with whatever, and now she's Julie Chen Moonves. I think that's like a, maybe we need a new host. And like, I'm just advocating for new host every single time, but like, I don't know. I guess that's my Julie talk for the day, which is crazy because watching her in person in the live audience is a whole different experience where she's like, she's amazing. And you're like, what is not translating to the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Unless everyone at home is like, I actually love Julie Chen and you guys are stupid, but I don't think they are.
So we have, do you think Tucker and Angela form a final two because of Tucker using the veto on her? I would be living for the chaos of that alliance. I really wonder what happens to Angela from here.
I think there'll be a final two alliance, as in one will get
to the final place two
and one will get 12th and they'll be the first, they'll be the final two, like, whatchamacallit, first two people in the jury house. And like, could you imagine Angela making it to jury though? Like, I think I would legitimately, if I was playing Big Brother, I would go, I believe this is the last week we can get someone out before jury. I would like to let everyone know we have to work as a house to get Angela out this week, or we're going to be living with her for the next 2.5 months of our lives. And everyone would go, oh my God,
when
you're right. Let's just get her out.
Does jury usually start after the first month, or?
Depends on what season you're doing. But I do think it has been two final people and 9 votes is 11. So
okay.
There's a fourth person person. But I would be like, just in case there's a twist, we should all get together and
so
get Angela
week,
out.
Hypothetically,
this week.
Angela should be going for you.
If you're living with her and you're like, I'm like, I think one of the funniest things possible is Angela looking up at Tucker as he puts it on her neck, and it literally looks like she's looking like at an angel or something. Like, she is literally like, never expected this to happen, has been taken by the Holy Spirit, and like, God is good every day God is good, you know? And it's just going everywhere now. Angela, I think Angela has to be a casualty of, we wanted to get Tucker out, but we'll settle for this. Which is weird because she voted out Kenny. So I'm like, why did none of these people
Kenny
vote
was voting
win?
For her no matter what. And I feel like she also is just like, I also hate Kenny. And that's what the house is going with.
And I think for as much as I'm talking crap about Kenny, oh, I do not relate to these young people. But you kind of knew that. You kind of knew it wasn't going to be a season of 45 people, 45 years old and up. And like, if you were stuck in a house of 16 people, but the person you related to most age-wise and life experience-wise was Angela, you'd probably be like, I feel really alone in this house, too, of like, I don't want to look at Angela and see home, you know, like I want to do other things, but now we're just also, if Kenny K is going to come on next week, we probably shouldn't talk too much shit about him. You already have it scheduled. You've been talking to his family, right?
Yep. He should be messaging me any moment now. So,
oh, let's just put him straight on FaceTime then.
Yeah. Right?
Sweet Kenny K, what would be the two questions you would want to ask Sweet Kenny K if you were on the press right now?
Was it as terrible in the house as I think it was?
Oh, okay.
And also,
and I would say, why did you even apply?
Because we needed that older guy.
I don't think we need anything. I think we need to put the 16 most interesting people. And I do think maybe we're due for a season of Tucker's very interesting. Why don't we put 4 Tuckers in? Why don't we put 7 Tuckers in? Millennials, BS, Gen X. So millennials.
Except
that
would be like millennials versus Gen Alpha.
Jeez. I don't think millennials are tops like 38 right now.
Yeah.
So if you really want some age diversity, you still got to go Gen X a little bit. No, but it was versus Brian. I got you. I don't want to see that. I don't think.
Teams don't work out, I feel, as well as they want them to also.
The BB what?
Like putting them in teams doesn't work out as well as they want it to.
Yeah, could you imagine you have to like, I'm actually the oldest millennial and I'm getting along with all these Gen X's, but now I have to nominate 2 of them. Like, that's not interesting. Confessionals. Confessionals, I think, are all right this season. Seems like some people are good at doing them. Cedric's a screamer.
Yeah, but it's not a lot of them are, it feels.
Because Cedric's really good in the... Cedric's really good in the house. I'm not a big fan of Cedric in the room. Confessionals. Mm-hmm. Diary room. Quinn is also somebody where I'm like...
I do not need to hear from you.
I think I actively am irked by him, which is going to be frustrating because the next probably 5 episodes are going to be completely centered around him.
I just want to know some of the other people in the house. Is that too much to ask?
Yes.
One,
you should know better.
2 weeks we haven't heard Rubina, aside from her vote to evict.
Could you imagine being Rubina's friends and she goes, "What's up?"
Same shit.
Could you imagine being T-Core's mom and being like, did y'all vote in America's Veto? Do y'all feel, 5 million people did. It was me 1 million times. I would have voted for Quinn. Like, I think it is more interesting to see him go up and Tucker gets half of his way than like somebody random goes up and it's like, oh, that's really weird.
I honestly forgot to vote, but I would have voted for Quinn also. I watched it this morning and was like, oh, is voting still live? And I was like, no, it's not. All right. Well,
you're not watching these episodes as they come out on Eastern Starboard time?
I watched this episode live.
Oh, okay. Perf. what else did you miss? I think one feed conversation that you can find on Twitter was a 9-minute conversation between Joseph and Leah. And I kind of related to this conversation. And some people are like, screw them. But it was them two talking about how fake the house can be, how people are just talking to talk. It's so annoying. And I know some people have said that about Leah, so it's interesting that Leah also thinks that about other people. But Leah and Joseph had I don't call it heart to heart, but it's like, do you have somebody in your friend group that you become closer with because you guys both don't really like the same person and you can talk shit with them and it's kind of cool and like you can grow that way too. And I think that's what's happening between Joseph and Leah. I wonder if they'll be friends or alliance mates soon. But they were like, oh my God, some of these people have been telling my stories like they're their own. And what they really were annoyed with was Rubina's fakeness and laughter. But I think it's interesting because we talked about Rubina talking to T-Core and saying the exact opposite of like, these people never ask me anything about myself. It seems like I have to be fake. So it seems like the Big Brother house social experiment is kind of working this year of people don't feel easy being themselves, don't feel like hashing this out. And like, yes, you could talk shit about anybody in any scenario without talking about stuff. But I think it's interesting of like, now that I'm watching this, not more than ever, but like watching the feeds, I have most, if not all, the information. And Tucker and Cedric were in the same room, in the same conversation, and have two different versions of it. And it's just something where you're like, this is amazing.
I would love someone to trick Quinn and convince him he's safe and then backdoor him when the power is dead after initial noms.
I just don't think that's like, there's no way Quinn, like Angela had him pegged of like, you, a super fan, is not going to use your stuff. And I don't like the thought process behind this too of like, oh, we shouldn't be giving powers out in the first night. It only puts targets on better players. It's like, you can throw these competitions. You don't have to tell anybody what happened. You can literally lie. Like, why are you telling Angela 3 days into Big Brother experience, I have a super powerful power that needs to be used in the next month? Hopefully you're not crazy. And like,
yeah,
literally the next day, like, he could have spiraling. Taken
it to the grave and nobody would have known about it.
Nobody. So Matt goes home. It seemed like Matt was delusional a little bit. Mm-hmm. Lisa goes home. She was what Lisa was. Kenny goes home. I do think these are three of the worst players. So, like, there's nobody's gotten
got. As much as we want Angela to go home, she is, like, wanting to be in the house, wanting to play, and, like, kind of just still wanting to take on the game, which I can appreciate. Same with Quinn, like, another person who I want to go home, but it's because, you know, they are providing opposition to some players that I like, or I'm just not a fan of like their confessionals or how they are conducting themselves in those confessionals. So it's like, it's not for lack of gameplay or anything like that.
Right. Big fucking Brother is back. I think that's interesting of like, this was, I hope the fans liked this episode and are like, holy crap, more. And this does kind of like roll into some good weeks. Mm-hmm. But truly, I just laid out the groundwork of three of the worst players are gone. But it feels like there's a lot of people in the middle of the pack. And like, can we consider Angela a bad player who, if she goes home, we'd be like, well, that makes sense too, just like the other three. Or is she better than that middle of the pack? Because at least she's had an HOH, she's had some agency, and like, she's trying to worm her way in. Or is it basically like the alliance of 5 to 6, the other four group, and then like Tucker's on an island doing whatever Tucker wants because he's going to do the lone wolf thing forever. Mm-hmm. And like, and then Angela, and it's like 6 + 4 + 2 = 12. So who's the missing 13th person? I didn't nominate. Like, did I miss out on a number by then? Like, there's just some people where this is almost a good HOH to win. Mm-hmm. Because if you're on Tucker's, not Tucker's, if you're on Quinn's side, you're just silly. Go, I really want the prize package because I want my Smarties and it'd be nice to hear from my Aunt Shelley. And then it's like, oh, okay, perfect. And then, but all the negatives of this, of nominating somebody before the lines are actually drawn. Cause that's one thing that I thought today was like, oh, it feels like lines are drawn and then nobody has Tucker's back. So it's kind of like, where will the lines be at the end of next week? Of will it be 5 versus 6, which is kind of like equal sides and somebody's floating in between, but it's like, you didn't want to rely on Kenny floating in between. but I feel like it would be a very fun dynamic for Tucker-led side of the house versus Cedric Quinn side of the house, Chelsea side. It's basically Chelsea. Like, what sucks is Chelsea and Brooklyn are connected, and I don't think you can't have the best two players in the game be on the same side if you want it to be interesting. Like, part of what I liked about Big Brother 20 is I do think the two best players were Tyler and Haley for a large portion of that game, and they were separate kingpins and so insulated with all their loyal soldiers or whatever, where it's like Brooklyn and Chelsea feel like the top two to me of, like, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Chelsea established that. Brooklyn, it just feels like it's innate of, like, a lot of people are going through her. Like, there's not a single person. And, like, yeah, playing McKenzie. That's what I'm trying to feel like. Where does – I think McKenzie's the leftover 13th person. Of, does McKenzie just go this week because it's, like, we've been trying to mess with you? Or does she fully, like, pledge allegiance to Tucker and say, like, let's go after them? But she can't do that now because of Quinn's power. So Quinn's power kind of, like, just puts us on the back burner for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
What are you looking forward to over the next 2 weeks of Big Brother? Taylor's coming back.
Okay. I know who Taylor is.
Cody's coming back.
Okay.
Jack Baines is coming back. What was Tuesday's episode?
It feels like it's a recap.
Oh my god.
It just feels like it's like them assessing what's going on in the house.
What if it's Jack Baines getting onto Ainsley's body, and Ainsley from now on is Cody, Taylor, and Jack Baines in different versions of them, and they have to play against Jack Baines?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's bring back Jag, I think is what most people were saying they wanted for the season. So
yes, agreed. They always bring back winners to actually, like, play in the game in a non-coach style situation.
Yeah. One other layer of this, I may get some flack for this, but who cares? Nobody watches this stuff anyway sometimes. But, like, it is interesting to look at TikTok as the episode is going, because I'm scrolling and I think my TikTok knows I care about Big Brother stuff. Maybe I follow a couple people. I don't think I follow all these people, but I just mentioned one of these people. So three people, as I was scrolling during the commercial break, were like, watch along with me on TikTok for Big Brother 26. And the three people I saw was 16th place Matt, Jag Baines, and Rachel Riley. And I was kind of like, is this an interesting, cool thing to do? Because we're kind of like, oh, come after the episode and hang out with us. But, like, for some reason, seeing former Big Brother players watching in their living room, talking, and, like, Big Brother's on in front of them because they can't have it be on the screen. And they're like, thanks for the galaxy. You're just like, what is going on? Like, this is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be, I guess, interesting to see what former players think about what's going on in the house. They're going to say everyone's dumb and then certain people are playing a good game. And that's probably going to be it.
Are you not here next week, right? You're not going to be here next Thursday?
Next Thursday.
So
I'll be here
Brian, Monday. You may be on the thing because you're basically the third specialist today. Shout outs to Brian killing it. But you'll be here Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's guess some
the Sunday episode. Are we leaving the Tuesday episode to hang, or do we want to go live after the Tuesday?
I don't care
episode?
About the Tuesday episode at all. Right. You? I play cards that day. Big all brother, right. You gave me a schedule and I stuck to it, and you're screwing me. Who wins HOH? Guess it right now.
Who wins HOH? I'm gonna go with heck with it, Tucker HOH.
Tucker can't win. I mean, maybe. I was gonna say Leah because she's gonna, like, just randomly do really well for a crapshoot one. Tucker wins veto. I bet you Vito, I bet you he uses it on himself this time. AI competition. Yeah. McKinsey wins AI competition, and Angela goes like majority of the votes, obviously against like chemo or something. That doesn't make any sense. Why would chemo be up for Quinn? Angela versus I, like, that's the thing, is it's just a blob in the middle where you're like, I don't know if something. Oh wait, we have a backup co-host. Don't worry, Brian. But don't worry, we will contact you if my leg breaks. I think I popped something as I sat down. We're gonna see if when I stand up if it's all busted or not. But that was a Big Brother episode, week three eviction.
Yeah, week three eviction. I don't know what episode it is, but you know, we're here. 11.
Big Brother 6, though. Love that, dude. Is that eviction 6 or season 6?
Hmm.
Oh, it just says Big Brother 6 eviction. It's supposed to say 26.
Oh. I blame John.
It's probably Phil's fault or whatever.
No, speaking it's John's fault. I'm going to blame him.
Speaking of John, that is who will be here next week. So if you want to see who you should follow their Big Brother stuff, follow their movie podcast, and you'll be like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah, because God knows Phil is not touching this with a 10-foot pole, but
no.
No. Alrighty, everyone. Well, I will still be here for the Monday recap of whatever shenanigans go on this weekend. And tune in then for when we go live. Goodbye.
Big.